Blog Talk Radio.
I do happen to enjoy the music while you're playing, and I wish everyone a happy holidays and thanks for joining us. Got a great show coming up. Again, I can tell you the music. And good evening, and welcome to another edition of Can of You. I'm your host, Glenn Keeling. As always, I am also the chapter coordinator and co-founder of Creative Care Beacon. And right now, we are representing the Ohio. We are the only Ohio chapter that is representing the Human Solution International. A little bit about them is they are a 501c3 organization that is gathering a great force behind them as far as supporting people going through human rights violation cases, and that's what we do. We stand behind people that are going to court for cannabis, and we help people overcome these and by being there, by getting public support. Public support is a huge, huge thing. Trust me when I tell you that, coming from experience. When Peggy and I went through our ordeal back from 2017, 3 years, facing sitting there at that bench, you know, facing, you know, somebody telling us that we're horrible people because we, you know, use cannabis, have you. But in the end, we are free, thank God, and it was due to a lot of part of public awareness and a lot of people getting involved with our case, and we greatly appreciate everybody. Carrie Cannon did a huge, amazing job by collecting signatures and getting people to send letters in, and with a picture collage, and that's what we're doing. For Lance Glore is serving a 10-year prison sentence for legal cannabis in a legal state. If you guys would, I'll just pop you a sign real quick. It says Free Lance Glore, and if you would, post it on Facebook to get a chance to go over there. And you can tag Carrie Cannon and or Tracy Glore Pike in that. Another couple that we're supporting hard is Adele and Aaron Wisdom. You know, we'll make another sign and post that as well. You know, I'm a big believer in public awareness and public support and knowing your rights and laws. You know, self-education is a huge thing, so I encourage people to know what their local laws are when it does come to cannabis and the consumption of and how you can and how you can't and all the ins and outs of it. Because you never know, you could be sitting there and listening. If you or a loved one are going through something, I encourage you please to definitely reach out to us because we don't know you're going through something unless you reach out to us. You know, drop a few lines on a piece of paper. Write a few prisoners that are serving time, and there's a great couple places that you can go to find a list for those plant prisoners that are serving time. You can always go over to Canna Convict Project. It's a great site to go and visit. They're great people. Christina Frommer is part of that, and she's been on the show several times. And Christina Landa heads up freedomgrowforever.org. Both those places you can definitely find a plant prisoner that is serving time for cannabis to write to and definitely listen. You know, getting a piece of letter, getting mail during mail call for a lot of these guys that's serving tremendous great times for cannabis, to receive a letter during mail call is detrimental to their mental status. You know, it gives them encouragement. It helps them through the day. It gets them through the day sometimes with your letter. So please definitely find somebody to write to become a pen pal for. Send them a Christmas card. We've got posted on my Facebook page where you can the ins and outs of what you can and cannot send to plant prisoners, to prisoners, period. Tonight, my guest is Kurt Reed, who is the owner of Captain Kurt Edibles. And I know that I've seen his products several times at several cannabis cups and at several different places. So I know his product's good. He's going to be joining us here shortly in the next segment. We're going to talk about his activism because he is an activist as well. He fights for the rights, you know, for people to, you know, use cannabis and have cannabis as a medicinal purpose. And he also has a company, so it does, you know, hand in hand, so it's really good. I wanted just to talk for a little about Ohio, and I hope that I get a few Ohio people to call in, because what they're doing here in Ohio with our program right now is absolutely ridiculous. They've made a mockery of what a medical program is supposed to be like to begin with. When a state makes almost $800 million in less than 4 years off of a program, and listen, there's not a whole lot of people that are utilizing the program because the program's crap. You have to pay a ridiculous amount of money to see the doctor, and ridiculous amount of money to the state. And then when you just jump through them and you can afford to do them, when you go to the dispensary, it's arm and a leg, you know, to buy what would be medically acceptable for me for a 90-day, and they do the 90-day thing. I would spend somewhere in the vicinity of about $8,500 to $8,700 in a 90-day period for the medicine that I need. Of course, we can't afford that. My pay would be just about the same amount, because we can only allowed to have 9 ounces starting at the beginning of the year. They're going to do away with the tier system, and everybody's going to be allowed to have the same amount. Doesn't matter what you're treating your conditions for, you only get 8 or 9 ounces. That's it. And that's collectively, you know, whether you do edible, tinctures, oils, wax via concentrates, or the flower. 9 ounces is it. And I say every program, and every time we talk, and I say the same thing, any program that does not allow their patients at least to be able to grow for themselves as well, that's not a program for them. If it's not a program that, you know, allows low-level criminal offenses, nonviolent criminal offenses of cannabis to be let out of prison, have their sentence reduced and let out, it's not a program for the people. It's only a program for the ones that are making the money from it. That's who the program is for. It's not for the patients. It's not by the patients, you know, because we can't heal ourselves. We can't grow our own medicine, which is absolutely ridiculous. but, you know, we're working on that very hard. So I'm hoping I get a few Ohio people to call in, because this is very important. Discussion, we'll get right back to that. But now I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to click this little button here, and I'm hoping that I'm catching on to Mr. Reed. And good evening. Welcome to Cannabis. You are live.
Who you have?
You.
Okay. This is Dana.
This is Dana?
Yes.
Okay, well, let me get back to you, Dana. I know I got your number now. Let me get back to you. I'm going to jump over here with Kurt, okay?
Yeah, that's fine. That's what I figured.
All righty. All right, thank you. So then this number here is going to be the correct number then. And welcome to Cannabis. You're live. Hello?
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Hello?
Glad I got the right one. Can you hear me okay?
You got the right one. Can hear you just fine.
Right on. Good deal. So, Kurt, welcome to the show, and thank you for being a guest tonight and discussing your views and your political – well, it's not even a political stance – your stance with cannabis. And you do have a company that is, you know, does produce very good products. I myself has had the liberty of utilizing some of your products. So without that, I'm going to ask, when and why did you get involved with cannabis? What was your first step into the cannabis industry?
I've been in cannabis pretty much using it recreational all through my young life. I wouldn't say I really got medical into it till about 2006 when I was prescribed a massive amount of pills. Just to mention one of them, I was up to 3,500 milligrams of Seroquel twice a day. And it was really taking a toll on my body. I went into the doctor one day and they said, unless you quit smoking marijuana, we're no longer going to give you pills that we've been feeding you for years and years. Of course, I've been smoking pot during all them years, too. Didn't matter. They cut me off. On my way out the door, I opened the door a little bit. It hooked the doctor's foot, and he went to screaming that I hit him. I was literally running to the University of Michigan Hospital, and at that time, I called a gentleman by the name of Big Daddy. I was like, hey, if I don't call you back in an hour, I'm in jail. And you could literally see the security running through the hospital looking for me and everything. I got out of there, and I went through about 2.5 weeks of hell that I've never went through before, getting off the pills and just using cannabis. And during that, after that, I'd say about a month later, they kept going, well, hey, why didn't you call the hospital? It's dangerous. You could have, you know, something could have happened to you. I was like, I did call. I was crying. You guys wouldn't do anything for me. So that's pretty much how I got into it. And then I went to it from there and I thought, wow, I was laying in the hospital and a gentleman by the name of Doug Orton, back then they called him the Muffin Man, brought me a muffin. And they wouldn't give me anything for pain or anything. They thought I was a drug seeker because I had cannabis in me. And he gave me that muffin and I ate that down like you'd see on TV, just ate it as quick as I could. And I remember I woke up the next morning with a note saying, hey, brother, glad you got some relief, blah, blah, blah. And that was pretty much my introduction to getting into cannabis and then, you know, cooking with it. And the gentleman at that time over in Ypsilanti, Michigan, back in 2008, they were putting together the very first dispensary east of Colorado, and that was called Third Coast. And at that time, I was able and fortunate enough to put out the very first edible east of Colorado in a dispensary. Again, and that was at Third Coast in Ypsilanti, Michigan. So I've been very fortunate to do a lot. I've stood in the lines, collected signatures, like you said. I've been to all the meetings, the normal meetings, the meetings here, the meetings there, from the dispensaries to the caregiver stuff to just pretty much been involved in about all of it.
All right. Now, you do a wide variety of different edibles. And, of course, your edibles are – you know, they range in, you know, milligrams, you know, comparatively, you know, for somebody to medicate with. What's the biggest thing for you when you're making your edibles? What's the biggest thing for you as you're making your edibles?
Biggest thing for me, believe it or not, as much as I love cannabis, is I'm not a big fan on tasting it, an overwhelming amount and taste of an edible. So it was really coming up with stuff because everybody's doing gummies. I mean, there's so much sugar stuff out there. I remember laying in the hospital one time and a doctor, after I got talking to him about the endocannabinoid system and the ectocannabinoid system and everything, he's like, look, there's only so many brownies and stuff you could eat. I said, oh, no, sir. It's in bread and meats and fish. And now I've got products out. You know, some of the people like that real sweet stuff, but the older folks, they don't want that sweet stuff anymore. So we kind of went to the side to where we were doing soups and stuff like that, to where you just add hot water and have instant tomato soup. Lower sodium than what you're going to find in Campbell's out on the shelf, 10-year shelf life. And we were just designing stuff like that. Again, think of it like this. A Xanax is going to work different for you, and it's going to work different for me, and then five other people out there, it's going to work different. You got to treat edibles the same way. So there's something out there for everybody, someone from a 5-milligram to a 500-milligram edible. Now, in Michigan, you can only go up to 100 milligrams, and currently in Oklahoma, there is no milligram dosage. If you wanted to make a 13,000-milligram chocolate bar, you could. Don't know why you would. You'd make somebody sick, but you could do that.
Right, right. So the difference between, you know, Now, I know Oklahoma does have a program because I've watched and seen. The difference between, not having a limit to versus having a limit, does that hinder you at all from, your edibles as far as when you make your edibles in Oklahoma versus when you do them in Michigan?
Well, yes, because there's different laws. So you'd have to abide by different laws. Because in
all
Michigan,
right, so
as I said earlier, you can only make up to 100 milligram edible.
And that's their top out. Nothing more than that. It's 100 milligrams.
That's the top in Michigan. You can't make it any stronger than that and have it in a legal dispensary market. No, sir.
See that? And that, I think that hinders because, again, like you were saying, that 100 milligrams may work for one person versus, somebody would have to eat a couple of them,
Or 10 of them.
That,
I get it. Trust me.
I just think that, limiting, and of course, they're in Michigan, at least they, there they can grow their own, they can process their own, they can do what they want with their own as far as growing it, as long as they're not selling it to the public or what have you. That's an added benefit because, it's not as much regulated. As far as if you're doing your own, in your own home growing, using your own materials and stuff. But I think that there's a hindrance. I think Oklahoma's got it right. I don't think that there should be a limit to what you put into an edible. I don't think that there should be limits to. And I don't think that there should be limits to the amount that a person, and I really hate saying this sentence, but I say it all the time, but limiting an adult person that, to something that they're allowed to have, I think that hinders somebody from actually healing properly and being able to break away from the pharmaceutical,
Right.
So I don't know. I just think that, Oklahoma does have it kind of right with, not allowing, not having, a limit on their edibles. I think that's a better market, for somebody, a medical patient. I think, Oklahoma would be a better place for a patient to heal as long as they don't have a limit to what they're allowed to have.
And I understand that on Oklahoma, but again, if I was in Michigan, I wouldn't say Oklahoma is a better state to heal because there are a bunch of excellent caregivers in Michigan that were doing things right, who really brought the whole thing forth to everything. They were the ones that stood up there and fought for everything. They were the guys doing everything when it wasn't cool to be in marijuana. They were the guys taking the M16s and the boots to the cheeks when nobody else was. So for me, I get it. I'm in the dispensary system as I have one in Oklahoma, but I will always be part of the caregiver system because I believe in it so much. Now, what happened like here in Michigan, in my opinion, and again, I'm not always right and could be wrong, but in my opinion, once recreational came in, medical is no longer a big deal. Okay, you guys brought it forward. It's legal now. Who gives a shit? Excuse my language, but really, who gives a care? No longer needs medical, and here's what's happening now, is nobody's re-signing up and getting their medical cards. Well, why do I need a medical card to go to a dispensary when I can go in there legally and I can buy whatever I want recreational?
Right, yeah.
So,
absolutely.
The mom and pops that were sitting on their Social Security that stood out there and collected these signatures and needed that extra income and worked for that extra income so they could eat a little bit more and pay their electric bill or see their grandkids and actually have some money to take them out to eat are no longer kicked out of the system that they built by the big dispensaries that came in and going, hey, we don't need you guys any no more. We're not going to buy your product and we're going to sell this remediated crap. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Well,
I agree with you.
One
I,
of those
I think
guys
that
has
hurt.
Education in themselves like myself are never going to go in there and buy remediated medicine because I use cannabis now for medicine. It's not recreational to me. It is medicine. And if I don't have it, you can watch my MS float up on me. I'll never forget when the governor here, I forget which one it was or whoever said that. Well, Snyder, I think, said that. Told me I didn't look like a patient because I wasn't in a wheelchair. Well, I raised up my shirt and I got two zippers down the front of me where I've been cut open and one in the back. I'm legally blind. I can't drive a car. But you look at me and, no, I don't look like there's anything wrong with me. But I'm a patient.
Right.
So
and
that was
and
derogatory
that,
for that man to say that. Sorry, guys.
I think so, too. I think that that's a horrible thing because, you know, you don't have to look sick to be sick. You know, I mean,
nope.
Nobody would look at me and say that, you know, well, you know, you're sick. You know, I don't look sick, but I mean, on the other side of that is, you know, I should be on, you know, a crap ton of medicine with injectables and living on a machine. You know, and if I went with the doctors, that's where I would be, you know, without cannabis. And, you know, I'm with you, man. I absolutely agree with you 100% that, you know, cannabis helped me get off all of the pharmaceuticals that I was on. And there's a few that I just can't get away from because those are detrimental. But all the rest of the pain medicine and all the other garbage and stuff that I was just poisoning me with, you know, I use cannabis, you know, for that.
Right. Yeah, I had to get off it all. I even got off the MS medications, every bit of it.
Right, and that's just using, and, you know, that's, you know, think, you found your balance. You found the right amount that you need on a day-to-day basis to keep your illnesses at bay. And, of course, I'm sure that they're all, you mean, I'm sure that you do have your days, of, you know, and everybody does.
Yeah.
But at least, you know, cannabis is there for you as that aspect.
And it always been there for me, even like I said, when it wasn't cool. We saw the benefits of it. We just never could get anyone to listen. And when they did, again, it turned medical into a pretty much free-for-all ball game. There's no more mentions of medical very much anymore, especially in Michigan. Now, in Oklahoma right now, it is not recreational. It is just medical. But they are worried when the recreational comes, no one's going to get their medical cards anymore. No one's going to. And that's just so sad because there is so much medicinal value in this. It's just unbelievable that it was all set up by people fighting for their medicine to get it. And then they turned it around to recreational and said, basically, screw you, sick people.
Yeah. And I think
you can look at it any way you want. That's exactly how it happened.
I agree. I absolutely agree with you. I mean, why would somebody want to go and pay, you know, the doctor the amount of money that they're asking? And then you've got to pay the state. Of course, you know, the state always wants their cut, you know, and nobody really wants to do that because it's not, you know, not really the government business. And it shouldn't have to come down to a person going and seeing a doctor and the doctor saying, yes, you need cannabis. And you having a medical card at that point and just being able to be a medical patient. I think, you know, involving
well, when
the government
residents of Michigan, like, voted for this, when they voted this in, and I've talked to many people, again, and I'm speaking for Michigan because I was here during that time, but the people out there that didn't even use the product, and I'm speaking it just for my neighbors over here that I spoke with, when they voted for this to go recreational or however it was going, they did not think that the mom and pops were going to get kicked out. And these big places were going to come in and say goodbye to all these people that were proving the medicinal values. I mean, the country in the United States wasn't going to tell you about this was curing cancer. Let me rephrase that. Maybe not curing because that's a strong word. Definitely putting it into remission because I've seen it for testicular cancer, breast cancer, many cancers, many other ailments. I just can't believe it. And then all of a sudden it was like, nope. Goodbye, medical. This is all recreational. How much can we make off you? How many rules and restrictions can we? In fact, how much money can we make off you as a patient and a consumer? That's what it all boils down to anymore. It's no more care or how does this help you or what works for you or all that got lost, buddy.
Yeah, I completely
threw it away, and it's sad.
And it is, and it's sad.
And it's
going to
happen.
You know, the medical. You know, and it it's the medical patients are the ones, you know, that paid in and bought in and you know, strubbed it out and
yes.
fought for Michigan to get it.
Yes.
You know,
stood
it's a
out
shame
there in the cold and
that,
the heat collecting signatures. You're right.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And to end up with a program like this, it's sad that, you know, again, a program makes the patients pay. You know, I mean, it wasn't bad enough that, you know, they paid getting the program to where it's at and paying, you know, the whole way through this, what they've had to the last few years, just to have it end up like this. And I'm thinking that it's going to happen to Ohio the same way, and Ohio is going to be, the patients are going to be left on the side again because it's all going to be about greed and money.
Now, again, if I'm right, and again, I'm not always right about everything, but if I remember right, there was only 5 licenses awarded in the state of Ohio, correct?
At the beginning, yeah, there's been more added to it since then, but yeah.
Okay. So, see, I remember back in the beginning when we started this, the one thing all the states were worried about, they didn't want it to be California again. They didn't want to see a dispensary every 15 feet, blah, blah, blah. Well, let me tell you something. Drive in Oklahoma right now, man. You can see a dispensary right next to another dispensary with a dispensary across the street and another one beside the church over there. In fact, you can look out your front door and see 5 multiple dispensaries. Now, here's the problem. What happened with all that? They had so many dispensaries there, no one could make any money. There's so much. And what the state didn't do is these cities' ordinances, they didn't regulate. They're selling these old buildings that ain't been rented out. They're getting rent paid on them now for dispensaries. Shoot, the cities are happy because they're finally getting some income. But you try owning a business and looking out your front door and you've got 8 dispensaries within a quarter mile and you're going, how in the hell am I supposed to survive and pay the government 16% tax on medical? Wait till you see what they're going to charge when it goes recreational.
What's an average ounce cost medically there in Oklahoma?
You can get one from anywhere from $20 to $250.
Wow, that's just outrageous. $20 for an ounce. I mean, and of course you're gonna, you know, get what you paid for it also.
That's exactly your deal. But that's probably the number one moving thing there is $28 ounces. You'll have, you know, there's over 8,000 growers, and I hate to say it, the more the merrier, but you'll have caregivers come in or people selling. And well, they'll hear the guy in front of them, a vendor, oh, man, I'll make you a deal, man. I'll do it $50 cheaper than them. The next day I'll come in, man, I'll do it $100 cheaper than them. And you look at these people and you're asking them, like, selling diamonds or wax, and you're going, do you know your cost per unit? They scratch their head. What do you mean cost per unit? Well, how in the hell are you selling diamonds at $6 a gram? In fact, let me look at those diamonds. Oh, okay, that's sugar. That ain't a diamond. I got you. I got you, bro. But the mentality is like, look, man, to make a diamond, you need at least 60, 90 days, and you guys are out there selling this on the market for $6. Do you guys know what your butane costs you? Do you know what your machine, your time, your effort, your drying machines? Do you guys have any time, any idea what all that costs? And yet you're going to out here and outsell each other for pennies on the dollar. It makes me sick. It's just like, wow. And then
all right, and
with the medical aspect anymore, because all they want to do is make money and make it cheaper. I'm going to make it the lowest cut, so they'll buy it from me. Unbelievable. And I'm sorry, Oklahoma should be smacked on their hand right now, the OMMA, for letting all these pop up. Look, man, I'm all about fair market, but you tell me the last time you saw in a quarter mile 8 churches going against each other or 8 Burger Kings. I mean, literally to where you look out the front door, 8 Brahms or whatever your chain is there in Ohio. It's impossible, and that's what's suffering right now. A lot of them are closing because they can't make any money.
Right.
And they weren't charging
and, you know,
as much as Michigan and stuff were back in the day. I mean, again, as a patient in Oklahoma, you can go into a dispensary and afford it. You really can. In Michigan, I'm probably going to argue with you on that one. because I don't know of anywhere in Michigan I can go get a $28 ounce. Now, again, we're talking about quality, but still, I don't know where I could do that.
Right.
You know,
yeah, I don't know anywhere else either. Yeah. And, you know, that's what it's going to come down to there in Oklahoma. It's going to come down to the one that has the most money to outlast everybody else.
Yeah, you should have seen some of the Black Friday deals, dude. There's no way mom-and-pop shops could compete against that. I'm a mom-and-pop shop. There's no way. Hell, I wanted to go buy some of their deals so I could just have it in the shop that cheap. So... Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It really is. And then my favorite thing is you got these 30-year-old master growers that think their poo don't stink. And it's just like, really, man? Because unless you're Jorge or Ed Rosenthal and you tell me you're a master grower, I'm pretty much going to laugh at you.
Right.
And I know guys that have been growing for 40, 50 years. They don't even call themselves master growers. You know why? Because you can always learn something. There's always a different environment. There's always something different.
Right.
So,
right.
I just don't listen to that master grower thing, especially in the young age. And again, I may not be right. I could be wrong. I could be just a jerk. But again, when I meet the younger people and they say I'm a master grower, I pretty much turn my head and walk away because I can't deal with the egos.
Right. Right. And that's usually what comes after somebody that says that they're a master of whatever. They've got an inflated ego. So tell us about some of the edibles. Just run down some of the menu, some of the edibles, things that you guys make and produce.
Well, I've been very fortunate to win 11 High Times Awards with my edibles back in the day. My first one that I was really known for and endorsed by Willie Nelson, thanks to Paul Stanford, was my key lime cheesecake. And then from there, we did some, went out to Seattle. We did some sugar-free truffles. We did a thing called the lime and the coconut. We've done push-up popsicles. We've done a thing called, I remember I sat in the hospital so much with my MS that they always sent me Mrs. Dash with my meal. So I came up with a seasoning shaker called Mr. Stash that was medicated. So you could take this anywhere and sprinkle on your French fry, your hamburgers, eggs, salad, whatever you wanted. You could sprinkle it on. It's already decarboxylated and wonderful little thing to go. What else have we done? Again, the tomato soup and the butternut squash soup where you just add hot water. And then we've came up with a coffee creamer also. And we've done astronaut ice cream, freeze-dried ice cream, because that way you didn't need to have refrigeration or anything like that, because there for a while in Michigan when things got going, they put out on, you know, and again, I was here doing it from the beginning, they put out a thing saying, well, anything that needed refrigeration or freezing was no longer going to be allowed. I kind of laughed at that, and I thought, well, I'll be damned if I'm going to let you kick me out of something I helped build. So I went, got a freeze dryer, and started freeze drying stuff. And, well, now I don't need a refrigerator. I don't need a freezer. I've got a 10-year shelf life. What more do you guys want to throw at me? Kind of where I went with that.
I think that that's amazing that you do a freeze-dried ice cream. I think that's just amazing.
Yeah, we've done that. Our recently thing that we've done here is freeze-dried cannolis. Those are really wicked. Just all kinds of stuff. And I'm trying to – we do a lot of sugar-free stuff, and we're inventing a lot of things like that so people can get away from the sugar and actually have a meal or maybe, you know, something that just doesn't have to have a tons of sugar. I mean, again, we do freeze-dried Skittles and stuff, and those have a lot of sugar. And the good thing about that is older people can now eat the Skittles without having to worry about their teeth being pulled out or, you know, from a sticky Skittle.
Right. That's a good deal. You know, I got it.
And the main thing working on right now is, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
The other thing we're working on and struggling for right now a bunch of is sugar-free products because a lot of people don't make that or, you know, it's just, you know, here in Michigan, we worried about when I was here, we would make 10 milligram stuff, 50 milligrams, 100, you know, trying to make that for the person, because the worst thing you want to do is someone that's never done an edible before and give them 100 milligram edible.
A, they're probably going to get sick and have such a bad trip on it, they're never going to want to do it again. So the rule of thumb with edibles has always been go low and go slow. But I tried to do smaller portions in Oklahoma like that. Nah, man, if you ain't doing over 150 milligrams, they really don't care. And that's not speaking for everyone, so please don't let me generalize everybody. But for the most part, yeah. And then now you've got the folks here in Michigan that can only go up to 100 milligrams, and they're going, well, I want that 250 chocolate bar milligrams, you know? Well, then you're going to have to buy 2.5 chocolate bars. That's just the way it is.
Right.
And the legalities, and I think some of the worst things we ever did, and please forgive me for saying this, I might piss some people off, but let me tell you about legalization, what that did. It totally destroyed the medicinal market, in my opinion. It destroyed a caregiver system that made the market. And let me tell you, if you don't think you can't still go to jail for carrying weed or growing weed or processing it or however you want to call it, cannabis, whatever, you're wrong. There's many people sitting in jail still right now. And all their only crime was cannabis. You know why they're not getting out? Because it's federal, dude. So anytime you piss a cop off and you've got that there and you really piss him off, you know what he can do to you? You're going to jail. Well, what do you mean, man? It's legal here. Ah, it's federal, dude. Play that game sometime and find out who's going to win on that stick.
Yeah, and you know, and that, and it's sad that people are still going to jail over a plant, over nature, and I think that it's unconstitutional to lock somebody up for over a plant, you know. I got to tell you that Peggy and I, we worked at several of the Michigan Cannabis Cups, and we always did make we always beelined for the Captain Kirk edibles. And I got to tell you that you do make some amazing edibles, and we really have enjoyed the edibles, you know, at the cups when we would go. So I do know that you have, you know, premier good edibles. So it's a great company.
Well, thank you. I've been very fortunate and very blessed with the people I've been involved with, and just been very blessed to be where I've been at throughout the whole thing, throughout the entire from the start to the end. And that's why I try and tell some people I was doing weed, kind of like that song, I was country when country wasn't cool. Well, hey, man, I was cannabis when cannabis wasn't cool. And to see all the people come in and nowadays treat you like you're the con, man, I was the same person I was 10 years ago, lady. That's the part that gets me. Nowadays they look at you like, you know, I don't know. It's a different thing. But I can, like I said, I can remember in the beginning, when it wasn't that way, you know, there was no mayor standing out there supporting us or anything like that. I remember it just wasn't like that.
Right. Well, I got to.
So tell me about
Ohio.
Like I said, I knew you guys had 5 licenses there. What's it up to now? Are there? I know there's people that have dispensaries based there and grows.
Yeah, I think that right now, I think that they're up to 57 grows, people with license to grow. I think there's 57. And I think they've added a bunch more new dispensaries. I know that there's another dispensary going in a few towns away from us, which would make nice, you know, be closer. But they have opened the market up. And I think what they're honestly doing is they're really – I think they're going to screw us and do the same thing to us as happened to Michigan. I think they're gearing up to have a legal market here in Ohio.
They are.
And then it'll really ruin the program. I mean, even as a medical patient, you know, going into a dispensary, we're still paying out the nose, you know, for, you know, 2.83 grams of cannabis, you know, costing upwards of $65, $75, $85. You can't even get a full.
That's why you guys come to Michigan.
But I mean, here you can't even get a full gram. As far as concentrate, if it's over a certain percent, they have to knock out some of the weight to constitute the percentage of. So a lot of our grams here are usually right around 0.87. 8-4.
And to me, that's ludicrous. Who is it making these rules? Who gets to tell me how much I can have and that? Who are these people telling me that they don't know nothing about this, have never been into cannabis, are now setting rules and guidelines telling me what I can, can't have, how much I can have? Who the hell are these people? Why are we listening to them? Why? We brought this forward to them. We're the ones that told them what this was doing. Why do I have to listen to some idiot up there in a skirt or a suit telling me you can only have this much? You don't know nothing about this product or what it does for me. Why should I listen to you? Why you sit up there
and
smoke
you
a
know,
cigarette that tells you you're going to get cancer, but it's legal? Screw you.
Right.
I should not have to tell you. I'll tell you what. Here's what's going to happen is they're going to piss everybody off so bad. The black market's going to build bigger than ever. And guess where everybody's going to flush to buy their weed again? Guess. Take one guess, bud.
Right across Michigan.
Walmart parking
lots.
It's going to go back to the way it was back in the old days. People are going to start meeting at high schools. Walmart parking lot. That's where you got all the good weed back in the day. So if they're not careful, they just open a flood of black market to go back out and say, you know what? I'm not going to give you 16%. I'm not going to give you shit. We built this. Why are we having to give you anything? Turn around and treat us like we're simpletons? Because you have a law that we brought forward? Nah, man, don't work like that. It doesn't. They tried that in Michigan where they tried to do without the growers and the caregivers, and these guys came in, these big people with money. Here's the problem. They didn't know how to grow.
Oh, well, it's just, you know, that's just some dirt and some seeds. Well, we'll do that on our own. Then they went and did it, and they screwed everything up. And their flower was junk.
And the caregivers are going, I ain't selling you none of my flower. Remember what you did to us? And then all the dispensaries are here struggling and remediating their stupid flower. And who wants to buy dirty brown flower that's been remediated, especially at a dispensary price? And then you're looking at me sitting up there in the government telling me what I can and can't do? This ain't no different than it was 10 years ago. It's just now you guys figured out how to tap in and squeeze money off somebody that, and you still look at us and tell us it's federally illegal. Why ain't nobody out there with bank accounts and doing things like that?
Because it's federal.
You know how many times did I get told that, dude? But yet the state's collecting.
Imagine.
You bet your ass they're collecting that 16%. How can I be doing something federally illegal when I'm paying taxes?
Right. Well, I mean, the government has to be putting that money in an account somewhere. I mean, when they get their cuts, I mean, it has to be going into
the
an account somewhere.
You got to understand, the government don't have to do crap. They're going to do what they want. I'm sorry. I'm not a big anti, you know, but I'm not for what the government has done to this program. I'm not. And they're going to go around the country, and they're going to pass them all, and these big industries are going to come in and have the dispensaries. Now, let me tell you something out there for you guys listening on the Senate or wherever else you are. If you don't think there's other deals going on and going to be going on, you're wrong. The black market has always survived, and it's going to go back that way. Because people, you were saying it at the beginning of your show, can't afford that. I got to pay you for a license. I got to pay taxes on it. And I got to go into the dispensary, and I'm living on Social Security, and give you $65 for 3.5 grams that maybe last me one day.
Well, why don't you grow your own marijuana?
Well, if I wasn't all messed up and riddled with MS, I probably would grow my own marijuana.
Right. Well, the thing with that 2.83 grams, that they constitute that as a two-day supply. That's 2 days
for
worth
who?
Of medicine.
For who? Who
yeah,
are they
not
to tell
sure
me
because...
that? Who are they? Who are these people?
It's the Ohio
I'd like
Medical
to bend
Board.
Right over and tell them, no, you sit around me for 2 days and hand me 3 grams of cannabis, and you tell me that's what's going to get me through my MS. And if you can sit with me 48 hours without it, hey, man. I'll even stand up and say you're right. Good luck with that.
Right. And it's impossible.
I can't even stand to be by myself with what I go through without cannabis.
Right. It's hell. You know, I mean, people
it's
that
hell,
are sick.
You're right.
That
That's why I'm fired up and mad. It's hell. It's hell that they're putting it through it. You know, and again, I'm going to go back to something I said before. We brought it forward. Why are we having to why are we having to cave in to these people that were still looking at us like thieves and thugs? No, we weren't. We brought the medical thing forward. We proved that it has medicinal purposes. The only thing is now is these guys sitting up there have figured out how to take it away from you. Yeah, we'll make it legal. You give us 16% sales tax. We can still throw your ass in jail anytime we want, but just pay us our taxes.
Oh,
right.
Yeah,
we're
going to
tax your dispensary. You need to have $250,000 for that license. You better have a $150,000 liquid asset. Again, who the hell are these people to come in and tell me that? Who are they? Why should you have that right? Because you're government? No. No. We built the system. And now they're trying to take that system away, and that's just illegal. You can't have a law on the books and then take it away from people like they're doing in Michigan. Because here's the thing. The dispensaries got pissed and went after the caregivers because the people were no longer going into dispensaries and paying those prices. They couldn't afford them. Well, the dispensaries are going, hey, man, I spent $300,000 on a license and this and this. I'm pissed off that these guys over here can sell weed, and they can sell it $300 cheaper than us. They got mad. And you know what they said? No more caregivers, and that's what they're trying to get rid of. So they won't have any more competition.
Yeah, and if they do, I think that's going to hurt a lot. That's going to hurt a lot of people, you know, because there's a lot of people that depend on these caregivers, you know, because there's a lot of people that, you know, can't get out of their homes and can't go and get their medicine that depends on people bringing it to them.
Right. Hey, I got MS. I can't drive a car.
Right. So, I mean, if you were dependent on somebody bringing you your medicine, I mean, they're going to do away with that. You would have to figure it out. And that sucks for somebody to have to figure it out.
Yeah, or if you do it the legal way, now you got to pay a transportation price. So that eighth is now going to cost you another $20 or $10 at least to have that delivered to you. Because the state wants to track that, and they want compensation for that transporting license. It just keeps going up.
All right, and it will. And it will as long as we stand by complicit and allow them to pass these laws on us. And you know, the way to do it is,
hey,
is
here's
stand
where
up
we're
and
at. Let them pass those
out.
Laws. Let them pass those laws because here's what's going to happen. Nobody's going to go back to those dispensaries and buy anyway. They can't afford it, dude. So what they did is they just built the black market bigger and bigger when that's what we were all trying to do was get away from it and be legal. But they don't want that. Nope. They want the money. They want that $5.
I've said it a lot, and you know, I stand behind it, and I think it's true that medical programs make good people criminals, period.
I would say legalization make good people criminals. That's better.
Yeah, true. That is very true also.
Legalization
made the
rich come and screw us and get richer. That's exactly what happened, bro. And if you got it any other way set in your mind, come sit on my side of the fence and I'll show you. So that's exactly what they did. Your mom and pop that had all the knowledge out there about what this does and what strain works for that and this and that over the corporate guy, they're pushed out. Mom and pop got to close up. I can't afford to play the game. I can't afford $250,000 license with $150,000 liquid asset. Are you on drugs?
That's a ridiculous amount. And, you know, again, they're just making it for the person that has the money to continue to make the money.
Yeah. Really look at the paper book. Find out how many Americans actually own a dispensary.
I think we'd be really surprised.
I think you would shock the shit out of yourself.
Well, Kurt, I greatly appreciate you coming on the show and being here and sharing what you do and your story with us and you know, your point of view. I greatly appreciate you coming and sharing everything with us.
Well, I thank you for your time, and I want to leave you with one thing.
if there's that person out there listening right now that's hooked on them pills that don't think you can't get off it and they're not going to help you, oh, let me tell you, brother and sister, it's going to be a bitch. And it's a hard, nasty ride, but it can be done. You can get off those things. You can get off them patches. You can get off the fentanyl patches. No more cracking off the little purple coating on Oxycontin and snorting that. You can get away from it all with cannabis. If you can't smoke it because you got lung issues, eat it. And I mean, if there's issues, you're more than welcome to give out my phone number, because if there's that lonely person out there like I was sitting out there going through what I went through and nobody will pick up the phone and call them, give them my phone number. I'll listen to them because I was there and I know how painful and scary that was. So you're welcome at the end of this. If someone calls in and says, hey, man, I want that guy's phone number, you can give my phone number out because I'll talk to him. Because I guarantee you that doctor won't talk to him and the cop ain't going to talk to him. And that guy up there collecting 16% sales tax, he ain't going to listen to you.
Right, right. Yeah, they're not. And Kirk, I greatly appreciate it, man. You're absolutely a fierce person. And you know, I greatly appreciate your company and what you do and all the things that you have offer for pure people.
Well, thank you, my man, for what you do, what you're doing there in the great state of Ohio. God bless all the people out there doing it right. And for those growing and doing it for the patients, heal people, good for you, man. I applaud everybody out there doing that.
All right. You guys definitely go check out Kirk Reed's page. You know, go look at Captain Kirk's products and his edibles and stuff and see what he does. You know, a great guy that has a great heart that's in this for the right things. We're going to jump over here, and Dana's been waiting for a while, so we're going to jump back over here with Dana and check in with him and see what he's got. Good. Hello, Dana. How are you, sir?
Well, we're doing okay. Yeah, I agree with everything he says. they're pushing to do the adult use here in this state to basically do away with the laws altogether with it. And the good part about that is it will end prohibition in Missouri. But the bad part is that, you know, it's going to really damage the dispensaries that do it for your health and for healing. And you got to really watch out. One of the biggest problems I see online that keeps people going against cannabis is all they talk about is getting high. And I don't even look at it as just getting high. I think that it's part of the healing process and all that stuff, but it's not about getting high. It's about getting well.
Hey, I got to be honest, man. I cannot tell you the last time that I consumed cannabis and got high. I cannot think of it. You know, it's been a very long time since I have been high off of cannabis because, you know, for me, cannabis is medicine. Cannabis has replaced a lot of pharmaceuticals for me. You know, I feel normal, you know, when I get to a certain point. And it takes a lot to get to that certain point to where you feel normal.
Yeah, I agree with the guy I was just on. I don't know if I think he's in Oklahoma or one of the two. But anyway, if you're on medications, tons of them, like the VA does to you, and it took cannabis that broke me from getting away from the opioids and all the hard drugs that they had there at the VA. And when they discovered I was using cannabis, they cut me off. And that's what they do to a lot of people. And that's very dangerous to do that. But they will call you in the middle of the night and say, you tested positive, you no longer get these drugs. And, you know, that's just the way it is these days. And as far as the states and the government, all they're looking at is to get the almighty dollar. They don't care about the person's health, and they want to try to keep this thing dragging the way it is as long as possible. And, you know, black markets are, you know, it's hard to take and go out there unless you really know who you're dealing with, because there's fentanyl being laced in everything, deadly doses. So I would highly discourage on going out and getting stuff that, especially if you know if it came from outside of the country. But yeah, cannabis and CBD and all that stuff and essential oils, the plants, they will set your body right, put you back in homeostasis. I don't get high, just like you don't get high. That's probably a beginning side effect from when you first start. But if you're using it for medicine all the time, it's going to go away and you're going to take and level off.
Yeah. And you know, and that's, you know, once you reach that point, you know, that's where your level's at. That is what your optimal, you know, things should be working better. Things should be, you know, your homeostasis should kick in. You know, your endocannabinoid system, you know, should be that water wheel. You know, you get your level to that point, that water wheel is going to turn, making the, you know, the mill do what it's supposed to do. And that, you know, the analogy that I use, it, a lot of times, you know, our bodies are like that river. You know, we need a certain amount in order to get to that certain point, you know, to where you don't need to have all these pharmaceutical medicines.
Yeah, well, you can feel it working in your body. To me, I describe it as electricity, you know, like a vibration. I mean, you can feel it working in your body from head to toe. And if you're doing it, you're going to take and get healing from it. And if anything, it's going to put whatever you have in remission a lot of most of the time. But yeah, the way they do it here in this state, going to a dispensary is not even on the subject for me, because $400 an ounce or in that area is ridiculous. And when you can grow it yourself, it's very cheap.
Right, yeah. And, you know, again, you know, being restricted to the amounts that you're allowed to get from a dispensary, what the state allows you, I don't think that one person should tell another person how much they need or what they should put in their body. Real quick, Dana, any final words for us?
Remember Adela Wisdom and Aaron Wisdom. They're still going through their case. I don't know what's holding that case up. Always be safe if you're caretaking, because there are people out there that will take advantage of you. But take and support them. We're Hope for Change in the End of Prohibition, the Human Solution International chapter here in Missouri, for court support. So if you have a case, if you don't let us know here on Facebook or get a hold of Human Solutions, we won't know that you're going to court or having a problem. So you still have to get a hold of us.
Right on. Absolutely. Thank you, Dana. Again, thank you for always joining the show and giving us some wisdom. From Missouri. You and Zoo have yourselves a good night.
You too. Good night. You're doing a great job.
Thank you. I want to leave you guys with this real quick. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot to be a decent person. It doesn't take a whole lot to make somebody else's day brighter. So please definitely go to them sites. You know, Freedom Grow Forever. It is a site, freedomgrowforever.org, and the Canna Convict Project is another one that you can go to, and definitely write to somebody this week that, you know, could use a few words of encouragement. So without that, you know, guys, thank you very much, and join us next week for another great show. You guys have a great and lovely evening. Thank you.